For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it is indeed the morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. We are at the second half kickoff. We have deferred to the second half so that we could bring in Coach Don. And good morning, Coach. How are you?
I always like to get that ball. You know,
that's right.
Looking forward to talking about the big game. And I tell you, rivalry week around the country, just so many big games. And I think back on so many rivals I had to coach and play against, and it's just a unique situation when you're going against your team that you just, you know, above all, you just want to beat that team and carry it forward for 365 days.
By the way, being an offensive coach like you were, what percentage of the time did you defer, and what percentage of the time did you take the football to get
as,
going?
As a head coach?
Yeah, as a head coach.
Only deferred one time, and that was a mistake. They talked me into it because we're playing Youngstown State, and they didn't think their offense was very good, and we could take advantage of it, and it didn't work out.
So you always like to take that football.
Well, you know, unless we just had a really bad, you know, wind was bad or something like that. But
right.
You know, we were very confident in our game plan and what we were trying to do. But a lot of times didn't work out either. But
I'm just a big defer guy, just so the other team can't get that two for one at the, you know.
Yeah, that's no question about it, and particularly if you go out there and get a stop,
yeah,
and get going. But and you got a great kicker like we have, makes a lot of difference. I mean, I don't know if last week if we were practicing kicking off short or not.
That's what I was just Sam and I were talking about that during the game. Do you think we might have been doing some of that?
But you know, from the standpoint of sometimes you're playing in the wind, but which could be this weekend with the rain and everything. I tell you, the kicking game is going to be humongous in this game this week because Tech's giving up some kickoff returns, and I don't see a lot of punts in this game. It's hard to get these guys to punt. I mean, they go for it on fourth down, and you know, they just run a offense where it's hard to get them to, you know, unless they get a penalty. I mean, they're going to keep rolling. But we got to talk about a lot of things before Tech. But the main thing is, as far as, you know, decisions that you make during the course of a game, start out a lot on Friday night and Saturday morning. You meet as a staff and talk about, you know, their offense and your defense have been going so hard against the other team, what that team does that their staff is getting ready for. You know, let's just say you're the offensive coach and Sam's the defensive coach. He really doesn't know a lot about what the other team's elements are, except the ones he's been studying. So as a head coach, you go over, you know, hey, these guys are better than we thought they were after really studying them, and we're gonna have to do a job getting some points because it's gonna be hard for us to stop them, you know. And so the offense has got to get coordinated with that, and maybe understand they got to, you know, you can't miss many turns, and that's the way it is. You're not gonna have but 8 or 9 series in the game against somebody like Tech. I mean, I heard you guys on the way in talking about watching the Iron Bowl, and you probably got a pretty good chance of watching that. I mean, our game starts at 12. I'll be surprised if it's not over at 3 o'clock. Hopefully the game will be over about 12:30. I mean, we'll have the game in hand, but it'll be a fast game. They just eat the clock up. And the thing that's so demoralizing, but you can't let it demoralize you, is be on the sideline and be the offense, and you want to get back out there. And then when you do, sometimes you press a little bit, and you got to counsel your offense, hey, play it normal and don't take any extra risk and make sure you take care of business. And I thought last year we did a tremendous job of that. You know, our offense really just sailed throughout the game, and our defense. It'd be nice if Roquan could come back.
Yeah.
I watched that tape yesterday. I mean, he had one of those games of a lifetime against Tech last year. I mean, had to make Paul Johnson just have nightmares watching it. But every play that was available, he made it. I mean, he was just sideline to sideline and just a incredible game and an incredible game plan by Kirby and the defensive staff. They just really they really had them kind of bamboozled.
And now there's no Roquan and no Monty Rice.
Yeah, I hated that for Monty. I mean, you know, it's one thing to get hurt, but get hurt in pregame warm-ups, that's just an anomaly the way it happened. I mean, you know, it wasn't any contact or anything, and we got a good turf out there. But, you know, I heard Kirby on the Delta thing coming in here saying that, you know, they were hoping he would be ready, you know, but more than likely this – from our standpoint, we really need him against Alabama. Yeah. We need him against Tech, too. But, you know, he's kind of a field general out there. He makes the calls. He kind of solidifies the defense. And the one thing about our defense that's looked good, even though they threw the ball a lot against some of our other, you know, down-the-line guys that don't play as much, we've looked a lot more concise in our calls and, you know, getting lined up. And this week they don't run a lot of personnel groups, so, you know, you just got to keep your guys fresh. You're going to have to substitute from that standpoint, but I don't think you see a lot of running on and off the field because of different personnel groups that Tech runs. They don't do that like most teams.
Coach, you sounded a lot like Kirby yesterday when he was asked about, you know, you had said there about wanting the game to be over at 12:30. He goes, I always want to put people down by multiple scores. Nobody goes into a game saying, let's keep this one tight for a while.
Right, that was kind of a tough way to
that
answer.
Was a weird question.
I mean, it was weird. And, you know, that's one of the things that Kirby does a lot better job on that than I used to. I really was kind of a smart butt too many times that you don't.
Sometimes you're just like, what?
Well, some, you know, questions.
The guy asked me that one time, do you ever work on tackling?
And no, we don't ever do that.
No, what is tackling?
I said, what do you do? And he said, well, this is on a call-in show. He said, I'm a CPA. And I said, well, do you ever use a calculator? That was not very good by me, but I did it.
But, you know, I guess.
Do we work on tackling? Come on, man.
It's like, come on. But I guess the point of the question was, with Tech's style of offense, getting a lead and getting a two-touchdown
lead
plays into your hands.
And it's just incredible, going back over the last couple of years, that we had a 12-point lead with 6 minutes to go 2 years ago over here. I mean, ugh. When we lost, it was just for them to be able to come back. And you saw that they had the ball on their own 3-yard line and hit a couple just miraculous plays where down the gash on us, and then they go down and score, and then we get the tip ball for interception, and then they take it in and have a throwback pass to the quarterback call, and the guy just takes it and turns and goes on in. You know, it was a busted play, but it looked like one of the best plays they ever called. But it's just one of those deals, you know. Hey, all week, the one thing that we got to do is just our scout team has got to do a terrific job of emulating their plays as good as you can. Because if you just think about anybody in college and you're playing in a system and you're in an offensive system like ours, we don't ever run the option. We don't run the quarterback, you know, reading the guy from under center. We don't run the loaded type sweep plays with the quarterback. So I think probably this week we'll probably use, you know, a really good defensive back and some of those guys to emulate their quarterback because they're such good runners, both of them. The second team guy who had an unbelievable game against Virginia Tech ran the ball 40 times. I mean, I never heard of a quarterback running 40 times in one game. And but he did a great job. And they, you know, of course, Marshall's a senior and he's a good player. And but you got to, getting back to what I was saying, you got to make sure the scout team is as good as it can at emulating what they do, because once you get in the game itself, you just warp up the speed because they can execute a lot better. They do it every day all year long. And just like we do our plays, we can execute our plays a lot better than Tech's scout team can, because they probably don't have a quarterback that throws the ball. You know, that's not one of their strengths. But I've always felt like this as a coach, though. You give and take, and in the situation with Tech, you got to understand that they aren't really shouldn't be really good at rushing the passer and playing a ball in the air either, because they don't see that in practice. So that's simulating our offense is going to be hard for them too. And I think You look at their stats, they've had a terrible time on third down. I mean, they're in the last quadrant of the country on third down percentage getting off the field. So we got to make our third downs like we have the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've been phenomenal, particularly passing the ball. So every time we keep it, you know, three more plays, that's three they don't get it.
Yeah, and Dave and I were talking about this yesterday about this team. It's like, yes, Georgia Tech has been playing much better. They've gotten some wins after a horrendous start, but they're still giving up a ton of points.
Yeah, they are, and have been a mess on special teams, you know, giving up 2 touchdowns back-to-back on kickoff returns against South Florida.
Yeah, but Nicole's got to love that.
But last week – they did kick 4 field goals, and really Virginia did a pretty good job of curtailing them a little bit, you know. And you got to look at the teams Tech's beaten, and that's really probably the highest-ranked team they've beaten, I would think, isn't it, Dave? I mean, you look at their schedule.
They haven't lost since – well, they've got the – let's see, they won 4 in a row and 6 out of 7.
Well, they beat Virginia – yeah. They beat Virginia Tech and Miami, and but I just don't see their schedule hasn't been as challenging as probably ours, but ours is not overwhelming either. But
they had the one loss to Duke. Yeah, that's been it that Clemson loss.
But who's their victories over? Though?
Bowling Green.
All right, yeah, Bowling Green.
Louisville.
Bowling Green and Louisville both have fired their coach.
Correct.
So that's not because they're doing well.
Virginia Tech, who may be getting rid of their defensive coordinator.
Going to be doing something.
Bud's probably gone.
They've given up over 50 points 3 times this year, Virginia Tech. And he's a defensive guru.
North Carolina, who may be getting rid of their coach.
Won 2 games this year.
Miami. Who was their coach? No, I'm kidding.
Miami's lost like 4 out of the last 5. Yeah. Big win.
They snapped a four-game losing streak.
Last week, Virginia Tech.
And then Virginia in overtime this past
weekend.
So
I would say Virginia's the biggest win on the year.
I would say so, too. Yeah.
And they opened up with who? Somebody.
Well, they beat Alcorn State, and then they lost to South Florida, lost to Pitt, and lost to Clemson.
You know, South Florida's lost 5 straight games. Unbelievable.
Yeah. They were 6-0 or 7-0, and they hadn't won since. Kind of doing what Syracuse did last year, sort of.
I tell you, Syracuse last week hurt me. I thought they would play a lot better against Notre Dame, but then I saw where their quarterback got hurt in the first quarter, and that took a lot of steam out of it.
Yeah.
But I heard you guys talking about Southern Cal and Notre Dame. I mean, I was hoping Southern Cal was going to have a shot, but they didn't look very good against UCLA.
You think Helton's out?
You know, the thing about it, they gave him a new contract last year after that season. I don't know. There's a lot of back and forth on it. But, you know, Lynn Swann's AD.
He's the wild card because no one kind of knows what he's going to do.
But, you know, You would hope that you'd give a guy another year after you reinstated him with the contract. But, you know, that happens a lot of times at those big schools. I mean, you give them all of that stuff, and then they really haven't been very good except when Sam Darnold's been the quarterback. I mean, they've lost most every game they've played without Sam, you know. I mean,
yeah,
and they lost their quarterback this year. You got to take up for him. But
here's a question for you: what was the worst contract extension? Auburn with Gus or USC with Clay Helton?
Well, I don't know. I tell you, I think Megan Kelly got the best one. What's she getting? $68 million on the
To not do anything.
I mean,
wow,
that's pretty sweet.
She can keep going till she starts playing bingo at the rest home.
Coach, not a ton to talk about from UMass, but I did want to ask you: Do you think? Now, Georgia had 700 yards; they had almost 400. Some games are just if you want to just get locked in on the stats, it's some games just have their own personality. They get a little goofy. They got some yardage.
They did
in the second half. And I like that receiver though.
Yeah, Isabella. We got a scouting report on him last week on our show. I told you about his.
Yeah.
And they do a good job of hiding him, but. You know, from our standpoint, we got to play a ton of players.
Right.
And, you know, it's just going to be one of those deals where you give and take a little bit. You give away some ability, but you really take home with you the fact these guys got to play. And I don't worry about those stats. I remember one time we played Kentucky here, and, you know, Mike Leach was the offensive coordinator, and we scored some. Charles Grant even scored a 50-yard touchdown. We put him in the tailback, but it took forever. I mean, they kept throwing. They must have thrown for 400 yards, but They were throwing those little dink screens and all that. But, you know, we beat them like 49 to like 20-something. But
right.
They had some unbelievable stats in that game. But I just think from a coach's perspective, the thing that I liked about the game, we only had two penalties. You know what I mean? We could have been a slop jar and had roughing the passer and clipping and blocking the back and unsportsmanlike conduct and all that stuff. We showed some good discipline in that game, and that carried over when the other guys got in. We didn't really make a lot of stupid mistakes, so I was happy with that. And then our offensive line just continues to dominate regardless who's playing. You know, we continue to fill in. You know, Hill comes in and plays right guard because Cade Mays doesn't play and Big Ben didn't play, and then Baker – looks like he might be out, too. So, offensive line just makes you. I tell you, guys, coming on strong that I thought was going to be a player a little quicker than he was is Salyer. I talked to Sam Pittman about him a little bit, and he really has started to surface. And you got two guys there in Salyer and Hill that both can play guard and center, which will give us a lot of incentive for next year. And the fact we got Erickson as a redshirt freshman, too, so. A lot of good players in that O-line.
So, I thought the scout team, if you will, they did a great job of running out the clock there in that fourth quarter. They did a fantastic job. And as you mentioned, those are the ones that have to get you ready for Tech.
Right. We got some good
Although, do you know who's playing the role of their quarterback?
I would think we'd probably use a guy like Trey Bishop or something. You know, he played back in high school, he played multi-threat,
right.
Dual-threat quarterback. And then we've got a kid from South Georgia that does some of that.
Yeah.
That's on scholarship.
Someone asked
that's
Kirby
not,
yes.
if Fields was – are y'all using Fields? Kirby's like, that's not the kind of quarterback he is.
He kind of chuckled. He was like, no.
Yeah.
For the first part, maybe – certainly he could emulate that and learn the plays. But can you imagine – Bulletin here, breaking news, Justin Fields was hurt playing scout team quarterback for the Georgia.
I know.
But our team, sense of direction here is just really good from the standpoint of, those scout team guys don't get a lot of credit, but they go out there every week and practice and, you know, play the other team's role, and the only time you ever hear anything about them is when they do something wrong in practice. Coach is chewing them out because they didn't read the cards right or something like that. But to give them a chance to play in Sanford Stadium, that's a tremendous thrill. I mean,
they did great.
Of those kids, you know, hopefully their parents took their picture out there or whatever it might be, but there'll be a lot of Christmas cards this year with sons on the picture playing in Sanford Stadium that you didn't even know were on the team.
I mean, the Dogs had the ball twice in the fourth quarter, and they, 9 minutes and four minutes. So they kept the ball for team kept the ball for 13 minutes in the fourth quarter.
We got 700 yards, but we didn't even hardly do anything. But that's a couple of good runs and passes there, and hopefully – you know, that's one of those games you hope you just get it over with. But from a defensive perspective, you know when they got the ball, they were still trying to run up those stats for that Isabella. He's up for the Biletnikoff Award. He's one of the top three guys getting the pick. And
well, can't you just see a guy like that who plays at Massachusetts? Can't you see Belichick? Those guys going, we'll get him somehow. We'll figure out a way to get him.
Yeah, I mean,
him
he could come
team.
In there and be like Edelman. He's like that type. But he's faster than Edelman, not maybe as big, but – I tell you
that
something.
Switzer that used to play for North Carolina.
Yeah, I tell you just something that just galls me today is that deal on the Lou Groza Award for Rodrigo not to be one of the final three. I don't think they're taking into account kickoffs and everything else.
Really?
I mean, you know, field goal.
So he's not one of the three finals?
No, he's not.
Brutal.
How can he not be one of the top three kickers with his kickoff percentage and his field goal percentage? I know one of them's a kid, Tacy from LSU, who's a feel-good story. You know, the guy transferring from Assumption College in Massachusetts. But really, sometimes I don't understand that. I tell you what, that is a political situation on all who's picked for that. I mean, I'm not going to go out on a limb and tell you a whole lot, but there's been some heeing and hawing over the years on those awards, and there's been some changes.
Well, you're on the Broyles Award. I mean, is it the same thing?
Well, Broyles is pretty straight up. Now, we get to recommend, like Monday, we had to turn in our ballots for the top 15. And the only guys that can be selected are ones that coaches recommend. Like last year, Coach Tucker was recommended. This year, Coach Pittman. But, you know, we pick 15, and then after that they get down to 5, and then we pick it, and then the board goes over it. But I just think sometimes that the it's kind of like some of these voting things, and I think some of these votes are tabulated a little bit different than what come in there because of and I know a couple of them, for instance, when I was at ESPN, where one guy won the award and they changed it and gave it to another guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's
not on the Broyles Award, but
right. But that's just why. So, what was the thinking on changing?
Well, I don't know. I think it might have been this PR, but I know a guy that did the voiceovers for him, and he did the voiceover at 2 o'clock, and then they called him back and told him he wanted to do another one.
Like Warren Beatty and the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Just Steve left Harvey. Out of the dry, man.
That's no good. All right, Coach Donnan is here in the studio with us.
Well, I bet we got some good questions.
We better get some good questions.
Just don't ask me about Jasper Sank's fumble. That's all I
know. Oh, no. We're not going
Or Little Joe's fumble.
Oh.
That was
Coach, just brutal. Just absolutely brutal. But we definitely love to hear from you. You can email 960theref at coxradio.com.
Get it going, baby.
Now we're talking.
All right, 8:32. Back here on The Morning Show, presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Sam Franco, David Johnston, Coach Donnan along with you. Little Four Seasons. Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Have you ever seen that show at Vegas?
The Jersey Boys?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. My dad raves about it, though.
Awesome.
So
I mean,
you saw it? I've heard it's really good.
Hey, I saw it in Vegas and New York. I mean, it's
nice.
Strong.
Saw it on Broadway. And the Strip.
There you go.
That's knocking it out of the park right there.
Hey, Coach, did you ever have to suspend players for fraternizing with the other team's cheerleaders before a game?
That's unbelievable. From Arkansas?
Yeah, so what happened?
Was that before or after?
It was before. So what happened here, for those of you who don't know, is that Chad Morris has suspended defensive backs Cameron Curl and Ryan Pulley for their upcoming game against Missouri. Because they were chatting up some Mississippi State cheerleaders and taking pictures with them instead of warming up with the team.
Oh, they actually took pictures with them?
That's what it says here.
Holy smoke. But, hey, they suspended them this week, and they're their top two corners, and they're playing Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the line is on that, but anybody on your –
We're going with 21.5.
Hey, you got to take them right now.
Take the over maybe, too.
I don't think Arkansas can score. They got to be close to the worst team in SEC. Since they've gone to the
division play. 25 years, 26 years.
I mean, this is going to be the worst record Arkansas's had since Babe Ruth was playing.
They were 3-9 in Bielema's first year.
They're looking at
2-10 after Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any. You know, they've given up, since he's been a head coach, they've given up 40 or more points in like 24 of the 36 games they've played.
What would you have done in that situation? Like, if you were the coach and you saw or you found out something?
I wouldn't even let him play it in that game. I mean, you got to get your mind on what's going on. I tell you what, there's all kinds of stuff that happened with cheerleaders. I remember we were playing North Carolina when I was
– Undefeated.
When we were playing Clemson and at home, and Clemson's cheerleaders were right over there on our sideline, and we were warming up, and they had one – you can imagine there's always one person that's just belligerent. This guy was hollering at our players. I mean, unbelievable, just the fact he was belittling our players and – pointing at them and all that and saying we're going to kick your butt, which is okay to say that, but just making fun of this one little kid. We had this one kid named Johnny Dahl, D-A-W, who was just fireball, but he's about 5'6", and he never got to play, but he was good in warm-ups, you know, but they were making fun of Johnny. And so finally just kept on, and I told Matt Kupak, our quarterback, I said, and I got Billy Johnson, our big fullback, about 240. I said, hey, Billy, Matt's going to overthrow you over there, and I want over near the sideline, I want you to run right over that cheerleader. And I said, try not to hurt him too bad. But anyhow, it was so ridiculous. Well, anyhow, Billy went running for it, and the guy jumped out of the way at the last second, but our guys let him know that we didn't want any more of that. So that was my involvement with the cheerleaders there.
Just run over the guy. Don't hurt him too bad.
Johnny Dahl.
Just run over him.
Now, people are probably going to say, hey, that's not right. But hey, it wasn't right for them. They just can't yell at you like that.
Coach, do you think you're the only coach in the history of football that might have given an order like that? I doubt
it. I think there's plenty of that, you know. And we used to, you know, before the game is such an interesting deal because you're so close to the other team, you know, and you try to not – you know, be talking to them and all, but there's really been some interesting things before the game, you know. I mean, and some of them are terrible when you get some of those fights, but guys get so close to each other, it's ridiculous. But that guy actually, those two guys actually were talking to the cheerleaders before the game?
Mm-hmm. Just trying to get pictures, you know, do all that stuff. That's just, again, some people may look at that and be like, yeah, whatever, but maybe if this is like high school football or something, this is college football.
Get your mind on the game,
exactly.
Man. I mean, those girls must have looked pretty good.
Did they play in the game?
They played.
They found out afterwards.
Yeah,
they're two starters.
I'm just saying, did he know about it?
No, he found out afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because like Coach said, I was like,
well,
y'all
playing
aren't playing today.
Right.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You might get to play next week, but you're definitely not playing today.
Yeah, I've had some guys that did some things on you know, the day of the game and all, and wouldn't let them play. But particularly the ERWs, you know, the guys that eat the pregame meal, ride the stadium and warm up. You know, sometimes they
– and look good in the walkthrough.
Yeah, they don't do anything but hold – have you ever seen a guy, seriously – that's a really good player, stand up on the bench and wave a towel?
Yes.
Yeah.
The really good players?
Oh, no, the good – no, the really good players. No,
the
no.
only ones that do it are the ones that are just glad to be dressing out. But they're trying to be –
I know Sean did it for the blackout against Auburn. Him and Thomas Brown were up there twirling the towels.
Well, that's good then. Hey, I give them credit then. You remember everything, Sam. But
Coach, while we're looking back on last week, I know we'll look ahead in the second hour, but what did you make of – and this kind of ties into Georgia's game with Tech, but, you know, Alabama, you could say they were sleepwalking or whatever, being tied 10-10 with the Citadel in the first half, and they end up blowing them out. But what was your take on that?
Well, you know, on Bulldog Friday night, we talked about that Alabama, people were going about, hey, should Tua play, shouldn't he play? And I talked about if he's ready to play, they need him to play because Citadel's going to keep the ball away from him.
Yeah.
You know, and Hurts has been – out with his foot, so I said they're going to need to take care of opportunities. And just a really good plan by Citadel, the way they, you know, executed and really were patient, and then at the last minute had a couple pitches and made touchdowns out of it. And they got a back for the Citadel, got over 100 yards rushing as a freshman. But I don't think as much as Alabama sleepwalking as the fact that they just couldn't get off the field. Had the same problem with Georgia Southern two or three, about 5 years ago when Kirby was there. We talked about that the other day. You know, they just it's hard to simulate what the other team does, and then it's hard to really get fired up for playing the Citadel Bulldogs when you got Auburn coming in there next week. But they did a lot better job in the second half. Their offense, you know, did what they needed to do. If their offense operated at their normal clip the first half, then it wouldn't have been as close, you know. But they didn't do much in the first half.
You know, and Jonathan Ledbetter was talking about this yesterday. We've heard this before, you know, where Georgia spends like maybe one period every practice, you know, working against the Tech offense, you know, all season long and during the off season. And I know, you know, Georgia fan wants to think, yeah, you know, we never forget about Tech. You know, we're, you know, they're our arch rival. But in reality, you can't just all of a sudden on Monday of the Tech Week start trying to. I mean,
especially
because
when it's so different.
You've got to practice against and the only all thing, year long.
It's not like our team is not concentrating on the week of the team they're playing.
Right.
It's just that you have some up and down periods during practice where you can simulate stuff and more than anything, teach your scout team, but just the visualization of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then you have total recall that week that you've done it all year. But the main thing is just, keeping your eyes where you're supposed to be, being where the visual part of it. And then, you hear Kirby say it, you hear Belichick, do your job. If you try to ad lib against an option offense, we used to lick our chops against teams that tried to play multiple stuff against us when I was at Oklahoma because they got confused. And we just, we do it every day. We know what to get to. We know what we're going to do when they do this, do that, and everything. Because you don't have any tape on them because they don't play against you. But conversely, what we did at Oklahoma, because we had two big games, we worked 10 minutes on Nebraska every week and 10 minutes on Texas every week.
Yeah.
Because the other teams we were playing weren't that good, but we those were the two teams that, that we had to beat. So we really worked on them. So that's nothing wrong with that. I mean, people planning their business.
Smart.
People in their business plan. I mean, though they got a monthly deal, they got to get an annual budget and they got to work on things. And
it's part of your strategic action plan.
That's right, the SAP.
Yes.
But the biggest thing for Georgia, again, is the first year, I don't know that our staff, and Kirby mentioned, I don't think that our staff realized what the prep needed to be for Tech, as far as year round. And they really did a great job of going studying other teams and also looking at talking to option teams like Navy and Army and all that. Army's offensive coordinator played here with Kirby. I can't think of his name right now, but and of course Coach Munkin's done a great job for him, but I'm sure you can get that pretty quick,
yeah,
of course.
Well,
but he was a tight end here. Even
a guy like Brian Bohannon at Kennesaw State.
Right, right. But I don't think Brian would help us much because he's a Paul Johnson guy.
Yep,
but,
I will see if I can find that for you. But, it is. It's almost coaching malfeasance, in a sense, to not think about Tech until the week of the game. Because, like you said, you're just killing yourself.
Well, it's just like this week. Our analysts and research people, they've done all they can on Tech. They're working on Bama now. I mean, that's what they're doing because they want Sunday morning at 8 o'clock when our staff goes in there, they want to see everything that Bama's done this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the same thing, Bama's going to have the same thing when we get when they go in there Sunday morning. That's why you got all these researchers and analysts and all that. And I'm telling you now, the modern day situation compared to when we used to scout people, we used to give them a 5 or 6 page scouting report and have the picture of the guy they're playing and have the number and height and weight and then go over their formations, blah, 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 and have them drawn out. But now they got digital stuff. I mean, they got a digital scouting report that, hey, here's their plays, and then you got 5 or 6 clips of them. You just watch it right there on your iPad. It's incredible.
Brent Davis is Army's
OC. Brent, old Brent, good player now. At least I remember he played for me. I just couldn't remember his name. But that's pretty strong, and he's the offensive coordinator for Army.
That is.
He was at Georgia Southern with Munkin, too.
Which is, here's another question. All right, so not a surprise that Kansas hired Les Miles. It was worst kept secret in a while, but would Kansas have a chance to be better in the Big 12 if they hired a Jeff Munkin?
I think just you got to have some kind of uniqueness out there. You know what I mean? They just you got to look at who you got to beat. First of all, they're second in their state. They haven't beaten Kansas State, but maybe once in the last 15 years. And then you got to look at who you got to beat in your conference and where you're going to get your players. They're going to go to Kansas JUCOs maybe. But I'm sure Coach Miles has got a good record, and he actually coached at Oklahoma State, so he knows the league. But I would say that's a gargantuan overtaking to try to get that program back on the map. I really think it's – just
looks like
it's not mission impossible, but
Sam and I were talking about this. He'll get in houses that maybe Beatty couldn't get into in recruiting. He might sign a couple of extra guys that they wouldn't be able to get, but can he really up the talent level enough to make them at least have a chance to get to a bowl?
Well, I think Coach hit the nail on the head, too, talking about the JUCOs, because that's what has helped Kansas State over the years.
They've been doing that, too.
Yeah,
it's not like they haven't been.
But
you've got to
be hitting it even, because, I mean, those Kansas JUCOs put out a lot of good players.
Yeah.
It's just it's one of those deals, a leap of faith. I mean, you're basically telling somebody to take a shot on you. I mean, you're taking a shot on one of those penny stocks. You know what I mean? Is it going to really go as compared to the – you got a chance to go to Oklahoma or Kansas? What are you going to do? I mean, that's one of the reasons why we at Oklahoma recruited the metro areas in the Big Eight back then. We would go into Denver, Kansas City, St. Louis – you know, those towns and get the premier player and try to, you know, say, hey, we're going to, as compared to going into Texas and Oklahoma, but we would hit five or six of those kids every year and have a shot at them because they saw Oklahoma drill these teams like Missouri and Kansas.
And y'all were on the top of the mountain, and that also helps,
right,
too.
And we got Anthony Stafford out of St. Louis, won the 100-meter and 200 in the state of Missouri. We got Kenyon Rashid out of Kansas City. And I never will forget, we're playing Kansas over there. And we asked Kenyon to come. He played over there at a private school in Kansas City. And we asked Kenyon to come to the game as Kansas is, because we couldn't get him to say, hey, Kenyon, come to the game. Mm-hmm. And we got this, so we couldn't talk to him during the game, but we're riding out of the stadium, and we got this police escort, and Kenyon's walking over there to the right to get in his car, and Switzer jumps up and tells the policeman, stop it, stop it. He jumps off the bus and runs over there and grabs Kenyon and everything, puts his arm around him. I mean, that had to impress the kid. We stopped at
some good recruiting right there.
Processional, but that's pretty awesome.
All right, Coach here in the studio with us. What do we got for the coach here?
This is the Quarrymen, which the Beatles would become, or I guess they became the Beatles. But
what year was that?
Oh, gosh, this was in the either very, very late 50s or very early 60s.
I must have been at the drive-in when they were playing that one.
Back in, see, this was when they were still over in Liverpool, right?
That's right.
We didn't know who they were.
I'm going to make a request for Jerry Lee Lewis for you.
Oh, yeah.
We can throw some Jerry Lee.
I want to hear. What I is shake the name all of... over, and you know why? I'm sure it's love, baby. That's no lie. Wind, rain, sleet, or snow, I'm going to be wherever you go. You have left me breathless.
By the way, that song was much better than the movie with Richard Gere.
I tell you, you guys are unbelievable on knowing the movies and stuff with the music, and they should have. You should have the host of one of these Grammy Awards or something. You and Sam.
Oh, that was good stuff there, though, Coach. But yeah, thank you. All right, we said we're going to take a quick trip around the SEC. I wanted to bring up that Justin Fields was named the SEC's Freshman of the Week. What were your thoughts on his performance Saturday?
Well, you know,
Coach,
I was very happy for Justin because it's been a tough year for him. And first of all, I want to give credit to Jake Fromm for what he's done this year of the way he's played with all that pressure of Justin breathing down his neck. So he's performed at a really high level. But, you know, the fact that we saw really they cut him loose a little bit more in this game as far as some of the things they let him do. And he certainly got a tremendous upside, and it was good for him to experience that kind of success and maybe let some of these people that don't understand the thought process about, you know, everybody just gets these typecast about people. First of all, about reading defense is such the most overblown stat that people talk about. Well, they don't hit their check, they don't hit their progressions and all that. Here's our progressions, okay? Make sure you understand this as a fan. If he's open, we throw the ball. If he's not, we check it down to the back or we run it. he has a tendency, because he's a better runner, to run the ball. Jake checks it down to the back. So we don't read defenses like pro teams and go second, third, fourth guys out there. You know, we got a field read or a boundary read, and that's it. So answer the phone on the progressions. So that's a little bit of me getting off on that. But I really am happy for a lot of these guys to get in there and do so well, particularly, you know, Simmons, what a tremendous job he did. He's worked hard all year, plays really good special teams, and he showed you his ability to run with speed.
Yeah.
Of course, UMass is not, you know, going to win a lot of awards of being a great defensive team, but we're going to count it down here, Dave, and you take us home.
All right, we got 15 seconds until the break. By the way, ham or turkey for you, Coach?
I'm turkey. I like ham, though. It'd be second place quick,
all right,
but I'll take turkey first.
You may get a few more
but
of those
like,
in the final hour.
The thing
hour.
I like more than anything is oyster dressing.
There you go.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.